Hey, I'm John, and this is your open source news Elements, sponsored by Element.fm. Get unlimited podcast hosting for just $5 at Element.fm. Now to the news. Today we're diving into a mix of compelling developments across the open source landscape, device accessibility, AI innovation, and public sector tech recruitment. We'll start with QuillOS, a remarkable Linux-based operating system making waves among e-reader enthusiasts, especially on Kobo devices. Released 2 years ago, QuillOS is the Alpine Linux-based distribution tailored specifically for e-readers, with a primary focus on the Kobo platform. What makes QuillOS special is its custom Qt-based interface, designed for smooth navigation and an intuitive reading experience. Beyond the basics, it expands functionality, supporting a variety of e-book formats, encrypted storage, NetSurf web browser integration, and a built-in VNC viewer. Importantly, QuillOS maintains vital hardware compatibility, from Wi-Fi support right through to robust power management, critical features for on-the-go readers. It's engineered for seamless online updates, improving device longevity and future-proofing security without sacrificing user experience. Why does QuillOS matter so much right now? It answers the growing concern as more companies restrict device capabilities or phase out support, effectively limiting what users can do with their own e-readers. For Kobo owners, QuillOS is an empowering alternative that replaces proprietary limitations with choice, transparency, and open tools. By circumventing restrictions imposed by official updates, it assures device control actually remains with the user, not the vendor. The bigger picture is about technological autonomy. As manufacturers lock down features, communities like those behind QuillOS are pushing back in creative, user-first ways. In my opinion, this sends a powerful message to device makers everywhere. Openness and longevity should not be optional. Shifting gears, let's talk about Mozilla's new leadership and what it could mean for Firefox, especially as the browser market heats up. Mozilla Corporation has officially named Anthony Enzor de Mayo as its CEO, and he's signaling a bold new direction for the company. Enzor de Mayo brings a background steeped in the Firefox project and has made it clear his leadership will focus on user trust, transparent privacy practices, and boosting user agency. But perhaps most headline-grabbing is his vision for Firefox as an AI browser, aiming to reimagine how we interact with the web. The plan is to embed AI features that let users select from different AI models, toggle functionalities, and fully control or even disable AI services as desired. This user-first approach to AI could set Firefox apart, especially as privacy concerns over generative AI ramp up worldwide. It's a big shakeup both for how Mozilla operates internally and for its business model as it explores new integrations, possibly even tying features into the Mozilla VPN. However, rolling out AI features isn't without its worries. Many in the open source and Firefox communities have raised questions about compatibility and the impact on traditional browser functions. Striking a balance between innovation and maintaining what long-time users love about Firefox will be central as Mozilla navigates fierce industry competition. If Mozilla gets it right, the AI-first Firefox could mark a resurgence for the browser, placing user choice and privacy firmly at the core. Next up, let's turn to a trio of noteworthy technological developments, starting with cloud-scale data pipelines. NetApp has just announced that Instacluster for Apache Kafka now brings tiered storage support to new clusters on Google Cloud Platform. If you're not familiar, Apache Kafka is a leading event streaming platform, widely used for building data architectures that need scalability and durability. With tiered storage, users can now move older Kafka data to cheaper storage layers in GCP, freeing up faster storage for fresh mission-critical streams. This update addresses a real pain point by both cutting costs and boosting overall performance for organizations scaling with Kafka. It's the kind of incremental advancement that unlocks efficiency at scale and makes it easier for engineering teams to manage ever-growing data pipelines. Now, onto a high-impact policy story from the United States, where the federal government is launching a massive tech hiring campaign. In a direct response to the recent dismantling and layoffs of federal technology teams, the Trump administration has launched the United States Tech Force. The initiative aims to recruit around 1,000 technologists for 2-year stints within federal agencies, kicking off as soon as March. The focus is squarely on early career software engineers, data scientists, and adjacent disciplines, with competitive annual salaries starting at $150,000 and stretching up to $200,000. Significantly, over 20 private companies, including major players like Palantir, Meta, and Oracle, are partnering in this effort. These companies will let chosen employees serve in public sector roles while retaining their private sector positions, a unique model for governmental talent pipelines. This initiative comes at a pivotal moment for the U.S., addressing the knowledge gap and rebuilding technical capacity after a period of substantial workforce turnover. Whether it sets a precedent for future public-private sector tech collaboration is something the entire industry will be watching closely. In the accessibility space, there's another standout project, Voitux, an unofficial Linux distribution dedicated to vision-impaired users. Developed by Wojtek Polasek, Voitux is based on Fedora, but layers in critical accessibility features right out of the box. The distribution comes pre-equipped with the Orca Screen Reader, LIOS, a Linux OCR solution, and Tesseract for text recognition, providing automatic speech output and essential tools from the get-go. The goal is to bridge the current accessibility gap in mainstream distros, especially until Fedora achieves full accessibility support natively. Voitux acts as a testbed, allowing rapid prototyping and rollout of new accessibility features, empowering vision-impaired users to try, test, and give feedback on enhancements. It's a brilliant example of open-source innovation directly serving underrepresented communities, taking practical steps to ensure digital inclusion. I believe this kind of project highlights why community-driven Linux distros remain crucial. They respond quickly to real-world needs. It's also a signal to larger projects that accessibility must be central, not an afterthought, in the broader Linux ecosystem. Wrapping up the news block, there's an important move in the web standards domain, a new draft specification for RDF interoperability. The RDF 1.2 interoperability specification is being proposed as non-normative guidance for promoting best practices across different RDF profiles and versions. For those working in linked data and semantic web fields, RDF interoperability is a persistent headache, with frequent compatibility hiccups between tools and libraries. The new guidance defines conformance classes, such as RDF 1.2 Full and RDF 1.2 Basic, where the Basic class lacks triple terms, creating broader compatibility issues. By outlining these distinctions and offering pragmatic advice for implementers, the RDF 1.2 spec aims to make future upgrades and data exchange significantly more seamless. It's a foundational step for the semantic web ecosystem, supporting the vision of universal interoperable data on the internet. So, stepping back, the past fortnight has brought a wave of innovation and, more importantly, a series of efforts to empower users and communities. QuillOS offers a bold path for e-reader owners to reclaim the longevity and customizability of their devices, standing out as an antidote to vendor-imposed obsolescence. Mozilla's shift towards AI in Firefox reflects a broader reckoning about what browsers should do for us, with user choice and privacy at the center. The Kafka and GCP integration updates might seem technical, but they have a direct impact on cost, scalability, and reliability in real-world deployments. Meanwhile, the US government's talent drive, connecting public need with private sector smarts, suggests new models for digital government. Voitux is proof that accessibility doesn't need to wait for upstream changes. It can and should happen now for the people who need it most, from the ground up. Finally, the RDF 1.2 push makes a case for shared standards and improved interoperability, areas too often overlooked but vital for the future of open data. Looking forward, I see three big trends emerging. First, the drive for user autonomy, with communities actively dismantling tech lock-in through open-source alternatives. Second, the mounting expectations for privacy and control as we pivot towards an AI-augmented future, especially in our daily browsing and connected experiences. And third, the recognition that technical innovation must go hand-in-hand with social innovation, whether that's enabling accessibility or reforming government hiring to meet urgent digital challenges. Each initiative covered today highlights the power of collaboration between communities, companies, and public sector bodies to spark meaningful, people-centered progress. It's evident that technology, standards, and policy will continue to evolve rapidly, but the values of openness, interoperability, and accessibility remain key to lasting impact. Before I go, a quick announcement. Element.fm continues to support independent creators, so check them out if you're thinking of launching your own podcast. And that's it for this edition of Open Source News Elements. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you found today's episode insightful. Thanks for listening.